Hi, it's Andrew Middleton here from the Learning, Teaching and Assessment in Higher Education podcast from Sheffield Hallam University. And this week I'm going to be talking about creative screencasting. So, what is creative screencasting? In fact, what is screencasting? I'll be dealing with that first and talk about how it tends to be used. And then try to identify what the real benefits of screencasting are and challenge some of the assumptions that we may have, or many people have, especially outside of education. I will then build upon the benefits that I've identified and look at creative applications for using screencasting in education, and hopefully generate some examples as I go along. I'll briefly touch on how we can then distribute screencasts and provide some further links to help you take this forward. So, what is screencasting? Wikipedia, that wonderful online encyclopedia, says a screencast is a digital recording of computer screen output, often containing audio narration. That's fairly accurate. So let's try and picture that. A screencast is a recording of a screen, so that's what we see, what we're looking at. It's a recording of the activity, and it often has a voiceover, or perhaps has text captions instead, or as well as an audio voiceover. And so we can explain what is happening on the screen. And so screencasts are useful for demonstrating software features, and this tends to be what most people think screencasting is for. We can make a bit of a shift from that very technical IT sort of use, where software developers and ICT support teams can use screencasting to show people how to operate their software. We could make a bit of a shift towards education by saying, okay, so you're new to our virtual learning environment, to Blackboard, and you're new to my course in Blackboard, so we can imagine how we might create a fairly simple screencast that says, welcome to the new students, this is the Blackboard course we're going to be working with, and I'm just going to spend 5 minutes taking you through some of the different areas so you know where to go when I ask you to do something. So that's a fairly simple educational application. We might even use a similar technique, a wee bit more sophisticated, to take people through a Blackboard assessment, to ensure that the lack of ICT skills doesn't invalidate the assessment exercise. So again, a fairly simple and obvious educational use for screencasting. So screencasting is good to demonstrate how a computer's graphical user interface is operated, and we can see some educational benefits already. So let's look at the benefits. Just-in-time demonstrations. In the environment in which we expect people to be operating. So just-in-time demonstrations. Screencasts are materials that can be online and available for people to use when they need to use them. For frequently asked questions about technical matters or educational matters, we can imagine that screencasts can be reusable and that they are visual. I think that's an important word to pick up on later when we start to get creative. We're talking about visual materials that can be reused. We can use them with this cohort, that cohort, this year, next year. But they can be repeatable learning objects too. Students can view a screencast and then they can review it if they haven't grasped everything they need to grasp the first time round. And then they can come back several months later and revise using the screencast. So they're fairly flexible in that way. I think one of the important things to note from the academic's point of view, or rather I should say the producer's point of view, is that they're very simple to make. Most of the screen podcasting software that's available to us essentially has a big red button that says record what I'm about to do and say. So they're very simple to make, and they tend to provide quite a few options for saving the screencast file, and I'll talk more about that later too. So therefore, just looking at these benefits then, they are cost effective potentially, because they can be used a lot and they're simple to make. Let's challenge some of the assumptions that I think many people have about screencasts. So, for instance, do screencasts have to have just one voice? Well, no. I have made screencasts about some of the new features in our Blackboard learning environment with our person in the Learning and Teaching Institute who has responsibility for rolling out the new features in Blackboard. We had a conversation around what he was demonstrating. So rather than having that monologue saying, here's this, here's that, here's the other, I could actually sit with him. We had a microphone each, and we had a conversation about the new features. He told me this, he told me that, and I picked up on some of the things he was saying and asked him to explain a bit more if I didn't understand it. And I thought that was quite a useful approach. One, because we're making sure that we could repeat some of the information that was important without it sounding too stilted. But also, I tend to think that audio works best when there's a conversation going on. So let's challenge that assumption that screencasts have one voice. Another assumption is that an educational screencast would be made by a lecturer or tutor, or possibly an ICT technician. As I've said, screencasts are simple to make. We don't really need the ICT technician in there. So we could certainly imagine lecturers basically sitting down and switching on and pressing that big red button. But we could also imagine students doing exactly the same thing. Okay, so having challenged that assumption, that opens up a huge set of educational ideas for us. The idea that students are creating the podcasts. Does a screencast have to last a certain amount of time? I think there's an assumption that some people have that screencasts or any cast, such as a podcast or a video cast, because it can last the length of whatever, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, that really if you're going to do this sort of thing, you ought to make it last, you know, a decent amount of time. Well, what is a decent amount of time? And the simple answer to that is, it's as long as it needs to be. And that's just a basic design principle. So I believe that a screencast can be effective if it's less than 30 seconds. That what you have to say, to demonstrate, to talk about can be actually very brief, and that is okay. And in fact, probably better than having anything that is too expansive. Another assumption, do we have to use screencasts to demonstrate how a computer works or is used, or how a computer environment is used? Absolutely not. And that, I think, is probably my main starting point for looking at creative applications for screencasting in education. So let's explore the potential. We could be working with a static screen where the voice analyzes part of what we're seeing. So we're using screencasting as a visualization tool. So in maths or statistics, we could be looking at a graph or anything that is using statistics, sociology, you know, anywhere where we're looking at research data. We could be analyzing a graph, any sort of graph. We could be talking about why the data is showing whatever it is showing. We could be manipulating that data in front of the viewer. We could be changing some of the variables and discussing the implications. So essentially we're looking at a fairly static visual. You know, we're not moving from screen to screen. But what we are doing is looking at a visualization of data and discussing that with one or more people. Now we could have a tutor introducing this data, or as I've just said, we could actually have some students trying to interpret the data, and that perhaps could be the subject of an assessment that later generates some tutor feedback or peer feedback. The idea, because of my own personal background in fine art, was we could have a painting or a graphic or something quite visual and only visual. And we could be talking about things like visual structure, techniques for creating paintings or graphic work. We could be analysing something that is patently visual media in itself, and having a conversation about that. Now, another thing that I haven't mentioned so far about screencasting is that you can use it to zoom in and out, and this is what I tend to do quite a lot when I've been working with screencasts, zooming in to details so that visually we are really focusing in almost literally on details. So even though we might be working with quite a static visual environment, by zooming in and out, we can be drawing the user's attention to particular details and even getting into quite a lot of information and discussing that. So whether you're looking at something like a graph or you know, a painting, we can be zooming in. Likewise, we might even be looking at a document, a text document. We could be looking at writing skills. Now, I'm not really proposing this, but I'm just trying to open up our imagination to the sort of things that we might be looking at and discussing. So we could be looking at the use of grammar and the use of language, and looking at how one person has explained an idea and comparing that perhaps with how another person has explained it. And we could be maybe interspersing some text and graphics with photographs. Photographs. We could be looking at the photographs we produced on a field trip. We could be talking about what we remember, using the photographs to help us tell that story. Okay, there's just a few things that spring to mind, you know, as I'm talking to you, but I think there are plenty of ideas. You know, once you've got started thinking of ideas beyond some of the basic ICT help and support techniques that screencasting is most known for, the final thing that I'll just flag up is an approach that I'm trying to take with the use of media, whether it's audio, video, screencasts, or even digital games. And it's something that I, at Sheffield Hallam University, am calling media interventions. The idea that we can use such media not didactically to distribute knowledge and information, but using media in such a way that it motivates and orientates our students in interesting directions. So looking at video, audio, screencasts, animations, and digital games that are used to generate interest, motivate people, and raise questions. So the media itself doesn't actually have to convey too much other than be there as an inspiration for the people using it. So let's get back to a few technical things here. We can make screencasts, we've got some good ideas now. How do we go about distributing screencasts? You know, the idea of working with time-based media on a computer is kind of scary if you haven't done that before. But I've already said that you know, there's software around with big red buttons, and actually capturing them is fairly straightforward. But then we end up with something, and that again is quite complex for some people. So let's look at some of the options for getting the screencasts out and used by our students. Screencasts can be output as flash animations or digital videos. So there are several options there in terms of various video formats that are supported. They can be made available at various sizes and at various qualities. And most of the software that I've come across actually takes you through a process of helping you to decide which settings to use. So they tend to be in quite useful language and lead you through a process of arriving at a finished screencast that works well. Above all, screencasts are digital, and therefore they can be distributed in various ways. So screencasts can be distributed in the Blackboard virtual learning environment. They can be made available as media on websites, just like images can be on websites. If they're small enough, they can even be sent as attachments in emails. And you could distribute them by using a USB flash drive or a CD-ROM. And possibly one of the most interesting methods for me at the moment, because it aligns with other things that I'm doing, is they can be distributed as video podcasts so that they can be accessed on iPods and other mobile devices like visually capable PDAs and that sort of thing, even mobile phones for some people. There are various ways then of distributing this video file that is the result of recording the screencast. So some further information. Screencasting software, what sort of things would I recommend that you take a look at? The software that I'm using most of the time is a software called Camtasia Studio. It's a software title produced by a company called TechSmith. There's a free version, a free screencasting software called Cam Studio, a similar name. That is an open source and free software that does a similar thing to the professional, the commercial Camtasia Studio. So you might want to compare the features in both of those. Adobe produce some software called Captivate, and I think that's really quite comparable with Camtasia Studio. So you might also want to, you know, compare Captivate with Camtasia Studio. There's a screencasting software, again, I think this is free, called Wink for people using Windows operating systems. And that's, I haven't taken too much of a close look at that. You can actually make screencasts also using Windows Media Encoder from Microsoft. And if you put Windows Media Encoder into Google, or any of these names into Google, you will find information out about them. Now, there are several other softwares that I haven't mentioned here, but I'll put this information in the show notes for this podcast. Finally, I will also add some information about other resources for learning about screencasting. And I'll just flag up one at the moment. The EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative produce a title of papers, briefing documents, called 7 Things You Need to Know About... and they have one on screencasting. Actually, it deals with screencasting in, you know, a fairly basic way, looking at that simple use of demonstrating how computers work. I think perhaps not too many people have got round to thinking creatively yet, but hopefully this podcast will go some way to encouraging us to look at better ways, perhaps, of using screencasts in education. Anyway, I'll leave it there. There'll be information in the show notes for this podcast, and I hope you found that interesting. So thank you for joining me. if you have any other ideas you would like to see discussed in the Learning, Teaching and Assessment in Higher Education podcast, then please do get in touch with me, Andrew Middleton. You can email me at lta-podcast@shu.ac.uk, and you can visit the show notes website at http://ltapodcast.blogspot.com.